Blog Talk Radio.
This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Friday, December the 13th, day number 347 of 2013. We're counting down the year, as you can imagine. Christmas Day is, 12 days. 12 days from today, it'll be Christmas Day. In keeping with the spirit of the season and the good feelings about the season, today we're going to talk to a great lady, Carmen Corrales-Conacher, who's going to talk to us about a book that she wrote about her father. The book is called A Father's Quest, and I think you're going to love the story. You're going to love the message of this book, particularly this time of the year, because it fits so well into the spirit of the Christmas season. So A Father's Quest by Carmen Corrales-Conacher is going to be our topic today. Just a quick plug for my book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. The book is available over at the Amazon. You can order the book print or Kindle at the Amazon, or you can go to our website, CubanosInWisconsin.com, and get yourself a dedicated copy of the book. That's one of the benefits of going to the website, that you can get yourself a dedicated copy of the book. Just tell us who you would like the book dedicated to, and we'll be more than happy to do so. So CubanosInWisconsin.com, check it out, and let us know who you would like the book dedicated to. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Carmen right after this. Well, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, and let's say hello to Carmen. How are you, Carmen?
I'm doing fine, Silvio. Thank you.
Oh, it's my my pleasure to have you on the show today to talk about your book. You know, I mentioned that with the holiday, 12 days from today, it's a good time of the year to start getting into the spirit of Christmas, and so much about Christmas, Carmen, is the family, you know, the family, fathers, mothers, children, grandparents. And that's why I thought it would be a good idea to chat about your book. Before we get to your book, though, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in the Dallas area, and I'm the mother of three boys, which have flown the nest. I continue writing true stories, and I'm at the end of the second one, which should be published one of these days, I hope. My quest as my father, I still continue giving talks at nursing homes, at schools, and presenting the book in order for people to get enthusiastic about changing their life and knowing that life has a second chance when we're not supposed to give up.
That's right. That's right. Now, I should say that you are originally from Mexico, right?
Yes.
What part of Mexico are you from?
I am from the state of Sonora, Mexico, and I come from a small little town up in the mountains of Sonora, which is called Bavispe, Sonora. And I was raised in a border town called Agua Prieta, Sonora. Then later on, my parents sent me to the United States.
Right, and Sonora, just for those who may not be familiar with the border, Sonora is on the other side of Arizona, right?
Yes.
That's right. Yep. Sonora on one side. I think the big city on that border is Nogales, right?
Agua Prieta, Nogales, yes.
Yeah, those are the big cities there. Now, why did you write this book? What led you to write this book about your father?
Well, since I was a little girl, I was always so attracted to storytelling and also to listen to my own father when I used to go with him to deliver bread when he had the bakeries. And so during the period of me traveling with him from store to store delivering the boxes of bread, he would tell me stories, and when he would come home, he would tell me his life story. And one particular day, he sat me on his lap, and he said, today, because he used to bring me little gifts every day almost, like a marble or a piece of candy. And one particular day, he said, I do have a story that I need to tell you, a gift. And he says it comes, it's an invisible box. But on that box, every time that I tell you something about my life, you're going to put it in there. And someday, you're going to reveal what's in that box. And that's exactly what I did. As the years passed, I came up to the promise that I had made to him, that someday I was going to write about his life. Because
now,
his life...
Now, if I may ask you, how old were you when he started... You know, telling you these when he told you to create the invisible box and put the stories in it.
I was no more than 7 years old, and he would sit me on his lap, and many times I saw him cry. His chin would quiver, and he would start to shake because of the pain that he went through when he was a child. But also, I could see the mischief in his eyes because he remembered happy times as well.
Right.
But his life story is something that needs to be told.
And you were in Mexico when this was
yes.
happening, right? You were in
yes.
Mexico, yeah. So he sits you on his lap. He tells you these stories. Can you share with us some of the stories that he told you?
Well, he was the oldest child of four kids, and he was only like seven. He was about to turn 8 years old when this tragedy happened where he lost both father and mother 2 weeks apart from each other. And they lived out in the boondocks. They lived out in the country. So he was left to be responsible for for his siblings, his little two sisters and baby brother. And one of the excerpts, and today I would like to tell, I'm sorry if I sound hoarsey, I'm trying to fight a cold here.
No, that's okay. Take your time. Don't worry about it.
But one of the excerpts is when my father, a little child of seven, he's playing around with little rocks, trying to collect the rocks because his father was supposed to come home at the end of the day to play with him and his siblings as he used to. He's out there and it's very cold, and his mother had gone to the well to get some water for the evening. And while Daniel is playing away from the house, he hears her screaming. And I will read a little bit of one of the excerpts that where it says, Daniel hears her screaming. He drops his sticks and small rocks and runs towards the sound. In the distance, he sees a man on a horse. Daniel runs to the well, realizing that is where the screams are coming from. By now, his face is practically frozen and his tears are flowing. He reaches the well and yells, Mama, Mama, are you in there? And he hears a faint voice whimpering. He turns the rope crank as hard as he can, but he's not strong enough to raise it. He keeps trying, but his hands are bleeding and he's yelling, Mama, Mamita, I will pull you out, I promise. Please don't cry. He's desperate and he cries when he feels someone taking the rope from his hands. Daniel turns and recognizes a man from the horse from far away. He tells him that his mama's in the water. Please, mister, take my mama out. Help her. And this was his first experience with pain. And if you can imagine a child of that age to be facing this as he sees his mother come out And then later on, he sees his father. To me, it was very painful to hear my father talk about that episode in his life when he was a child.
Yes, yes, I bet it was. I bet it was. So you are a little girl, and your father tells you these stories. Let me ask you a question. As a daughter, what does it mean to you that you have three sons, and I have three sons also? So you know, neither one of us has a daughter. But what is it about the relationship between a father and a daughter? What is it about that relationship that is so special? I mean, obviously we know that fathers love their sons too, but there's something unique about the father-daughter relationship, isn't there?
I guess so, especially because I was the youngest of three children. And so my sister would tell me that he paid more attention to me. And so did my mother, because I was that cutie that everybody wanted to pick up, and everybody wanted to spend time with me. And so I would always go to my father and for attention, and he would always spend the time with me. So I could get away with murder, and that's how the relationship started, where I would just climb on him when he was laying down, or climb on him and he was watching that little black and white television we used to have. Or I would just crawl in back of the seat when I knew that, in the car seat, when I knew that he was heading towards the movie theater. And then when he was buying a ticket, I would pull at his shirt and I would say, "Two, Daddy, two." And he would discover that, you know, I had been hiding in the back seat of the car. So we were always together, practically.
And you and your dad, yeah.
Yeah, me and my father, we did a lot of things together. And later on in his years, when he used to come to Arizona to visit me once I was married and had the kids, he would come and he would stay. I would beg him and my mother to stay because we had that relationship. I had that good relationship with both parents.
Right. No, you're right. But I was just thinking about that very special relationship that a father has with a daughter, a relationship that, as I understand from just reading and just observing, that very often it is from a father where a daughter really learns about, or a young woman learns about men, and
yes.
how you know, very often, you know, fathers can be very influential in young women in so many ways. Well, what else? You said you had a couple of stories. Which other story would you like to relate?
Well, the other things that I would like to, I don't like to read all the excerpts from the book, because I do want the people to get into the book and read it. And many times they would laugh, and many times they would cry. It's an emotional, love-giving book. It not only gives you that feeling inside, that warm feeling, but it also gives you the incentive to share it with other people, to share that love that the man had for his siblings, even after his parents passed away in such a tragic way. And I just want, for this time, the holidays coming up, I want for people to get closer to each other, to love each other, to don't place value on materialistic things, that there's more meaning in having a good relationship with your parents, with your brothers, with your sisters, with your friends. And this is what this book is all about. It teaches you compassion, love, courage, endurance, patience. It's a book of love, and that is what the book is about. It's about the struggles that this man took in order to fulfill a promise he had made by his father's gravesite, where he even helped the man to dig the hole where his father was going to be buried. And he helped to bury both of his parents, and at the same time be a father figure to his two sisters and baby brother.
Right. And again, we add that he was a young boy when he lost his.
Yeah, he was not even 8 years old.
Right. So that, you know, losing your parents would be tough at any age. But imagine losing your parents when you're 8 years old and you have little brothers and sisters to take care of. We're talking to Carmen Corrales Kanaker, the author of A Father's Quest.
My Father's
book.
Quest.
My Father's Quest, I'm sorry. I've read this book. It's an absolutely wonderful book, and I thought with the holidays coming up that it would be a good time for you, the audience, to hear about this book and to get yourself acquainted with the book. Carmen is going to be reading, I believe, or sharing with us a portion of the book, so go right ahead.
Well, my father went through so many jobs as he was growing up, if you can imagine. Both both sisters and his baby brother and him are put in an orphanage, and they were mistreated and they suffered hunger and so on. But he had a goal in his mind. He knew that something was going to happen, and one day, sure enough, he wakes up and his little brother is gone. They had given him away. And then later on, his two sisters are sent away somewhere else, and he doesn't know. And he struggles. And his life story, it is so unique and so precious that by me revealing some of what he went through, I think would help many, many millions of people that are faced with situations similar to what my father went through, or perhaps worse. But I want to tell them that there's always another day, there's always another tomorrow, and do not give up. And that is one thing that he always said to us as he got older. He said, never, never give up for what you want in life. And that is what I try to teach the children at the schools that I go to. I teach the elderly, and one time I came across this nursing home where they asked me to show what I had to say about the book, to do a presentation. And I had a group of elderly people there, and you should have seen some of the experiences that I encountered that day. Because they were so lifting their little arms, where, you know, they're so weak in wheelchairs and so on. But they wanted to know more. And one older man comes over in his wheelchair towards the end of my talk, and he said, I want to know more. Tell me more. So I sat with him, and we talked for like 2 hours. And he said, I am going to tell my son to buy these books for his children. And that to me touched me deeply, because I said to myself, well, you know what? My father did not have much to give to his grandchildren, but he gave them something even much more valuable, and that was his life story.
Right. Yes, a life story that is in itself a great lesson, because your father came to the United States, right?
Yes, he later came to, well, he, on his quest to find his sisters, not realizing where they were, not knowing where they were, he went on this quest for years and years, finding different jobs and working in a circus, working at a forestry, doing whatever he could, and suffering hunger and sleeping out in the cold. And he was a hobo. He was a homeless person. He had no home. So that is what he did in order to survive. But he had that goal in mind to someday, after many years had passed, to find his sisters and baby brother.
Right.
And he finally does. But thank God for many people that were nice enough to sometimes give him little jobs, give him shelter. And there's one particular man that took care of him when he escaped from the orphanage, Don Benito. And he practically raised my father and taught him the bakery business. He taught him how to bake bread. And if you can imagine a little child of no more than 8 years old, he had to put a brick in order for him to reach the table in order to knead the dough.
Yeah.
And so my father was very thankful to this man. And that man became like a second father to my father up until when my father reached 14 years old and he left the bakery because he had that desire to find his siblings. And so he takes off, and then another little lady hires him to fix some of whatever was wrong in her little house, and she lets him she lets him in, and he becomes enamored of the lady. She's like a second mother to him, but for just a little while. And if I am allowed to read another excerpt for that.
Yeah, go ahead. Please do.
Yes, it's when he stays with a little old lady, and the woman replies, "For God's sake, son, are you in a hurry?" Because he wanted to finish the job and go. And he said, "We just started, and I do have more work for you. Plus, I enjoy your company. Please stay as long as you want. This old woman is happy for you to stay for a while." And Daniel answers, "Thank you, senora. I will stay for a few days. I will help you with any other things I need fixing, but I must go. I cannot stay for this long. I need to make it to the United States to find my siblings." And a sad look crosses the old woman's face. Mixed feelings enter her heart as she reaches out impulsively with her arms, hugging the young man in a tight embrace. The young man has not had a hug in such a long time, and as he feels the warmth of the old lady so close to him, he closes his eyes for a moment, and he feels a strong connection with his own mother in the arms of the old woman. Then he hugs her back, letting his emotion take course, as he releases his tears and says in a small whisper, "Mama, Mama, my beautiful Mama." And the lady lets him hug him. And you can tell right there that he was so hungry for affection. And that was one of the other little excerpts that I came across that really touches you. And when this time comes every December, after he has been gone for so long, I still think, I wonder how many Christmases he went on and on without having anybody to give him a hug or a plate of food.
Right.
And it makes you realize how lucky we are.
That's right. No, you're exactly right about that. You're exactly right about that. Well, we're coming down to the end, but I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, how can people get the book? We have a link to the book on the show information, so I guess if they want to get the book, they can get it from Amazon, and we do want people to read the book. They can get it from the Amazon, right? And we have a link.
Yes, they can get it through Amazon. They can get it. They can order it at Barnes & Noble.
Oh, okay.
And Books A Million. There's all the bookstores in the United States and even abroad. They can order the book. All they have to do is give the name of the book, My Father's Quest.
Right.
The True Story of an Orphan's Journey by Carmen Corrales Conacher, and they'll
right.
be
and
able to order it.
They'll be able to get it. Now, as I said, yes. We have a link to the book on the show information, so when you're listening to the show, underneath the information about the guest, there's a link. You can click on that, and that'll take you to a website to get the book. But I do have one last question for you today, and it has to do with the inspiration of your father. So what would you, if you were, you know, if somebody were to ask you the following question, what do you want people to remember about your father? You know, what one thing do you want people to remember about your father?
The one thing that comes to my mind is to never give up for what you want. to always love the person next to you, the one in front of you and the one behind you, to never look down on another human being. That's what I want my father to be remembered by, and to always have a good sense of humor, because he never lost his sense of humor.
Right. So your father was very much a believer in never quitting and always looking ahead, always being positive, I guess. That's the other,
yes,
the other
throughout
thing, being
all
positive.
His struggles, yes.
Yeah, being positive and not, not... How old was your father when he passed away?
He was 82 years old.
82. So how long ago did he pass away?
He passed away in 1987.
Okay, so he would have been, he was 82 then, right? So he would have been over 100. Lived, he got to see quite a bit of the, almost lived, he was born almost at the beginning of the century, right? Almost.
Exactly. He was born in 1903,
yeah. So he got to see... He got to see not just a great deal of the 20th century, but this, as you know, the 20th century was very consequential in Mexico. You had a revolution, you had a lot of changes, and he got to see that. And I'm sure in that part of the country where he lived in the north, which was that's where a lot of the revolution came from.
Yeah, that's where Pancho Villa that was during the revolution of Porfirio Diaz, of the revolutionaries from the
1910. But your dad your father was a young man. I mean, the Mexican Revolution, if he was born in 1903, the Mexican Revolution was what, 1917, 18, something like that?
Somewhere there, yes.
Yeah, so your father was a very young man during all this time, so he had a chance to see history actually live through a very important moment in Mexican history. Yeah, did he tell you about that?
Oh yeah, one time when Pancho Villa was so popular, he had gone through all those experiences himself, and he would say that there was a legend that stated that Pancho Villa had hidden a lot of gold in one of the mountains very close to where we lived. And every now and then when he would get a kind of melancholic, he would be at the end of the day saying, that he wanted to make more money so that he could have more money for us as a family. And he would say that he was going to go looking and searching for that treasure that Pancho Villa had hidden on one of the mountains.
Well, did he leave you the map? Like that story, the Treasure Island, did he leave you the map so that you can go look for it?
Oh, my God. I would hear, every time I would come from school, I would hear him and his buddies, having some coffee and some of the fresh bread from the bakery. And
right.
They would be talking about planning a trip to that particular mountain to look for the gold.
Well, that gold is probably up there.
Maybe.
It's probably up there in the mountain somewhere.
Can I just add something that that happened that last night that my father, I saw my father alive, and I had gone to see him in the hospital in Mesa, Arizona, and I was staying at my mother's apartment because they had an apartment and he was in the hospital, so I was trying to catch a flight the next day. So I had gone to sleep after I had gone to see my father. And my father could not move. He could not move. He could only move one eye just a little bit. And I had fallen asleep. I was so tired from spending the whole day at the hospital before my trip to Texas. And I was dreaming that my father had lifted one of his arms because he was paralyzed. And it woke me up. But in the dream, I was dreaming that he was saying goodbye to me by lifting one of his arms. Well, I woke up and I said to my mother, "Mother, I need to make another trip to the hospital before my trip in the morning." So it was like 11 o'clock at night. I got up, got in my rental car, went to the hospital. As I walked into the hospital room where he was at, guess what? His arm was raised.
Wow. What a pretty, what a beautiful...
His arm was raised.
Yes.
And I approached him and I said to him, "Papa," I said, "Papa, you were trying to call me, weren't you? You were trying to say goodbye to me. And he winked one of his eyes that he was able to move. He was giving me his blessing.
Wow. What a moving story. And what a way to end our show today with Carmen Corrales Conacher. I've had the pleasure of reading this book. It is really a very nice book. And I will tell you that, as you were saying, Carmen, the book will make you laugh. The book will make you cry. The book will there's different emotions, I guess, when you read a book like this.
Many, many emotions.
Many
As a matter of fact, I don't know if we have time to just very fast tell you that we're still working on the screenplay for a movie.
Oh, that's great. You mentioned to me that there was one.
Yes.
Yeah, something. And, so that's great. Well, I'll tell you what, you make a movie about your book, and then you show me how to do it, because I like to make a movie of our book.
Okay, well, that sounds great. That sounds great, Silvio, and I hope that you have a lot of success with your book, which is a
thank
beautiful
you.
Book as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. And,
well, it's a great honor. It's a great honor, Carmen, and my best to you and continued success with the book. And it's just, as I said, it's a very nice book. It's an easy read. You can read it very quickly.
Very easy.
And it's the kind of book that you'll want to share with your family. But you have a wonderful day, and I look forward to seeing you during the holidays.
And me too, and I just want to say to the public to have a very blessed Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same, yes, I second that. Thank you so much, Carmen, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Silvia.
Bye-bye. Carmen Corrales Conacher was our guest today. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, I've had the honor here over the last couple of years of meeting and making friends with people who've written great books. Of course, Carmen is a good example of that, the book My Father's Quest, and other friends that I've had the opportunity to get to know. And it is really interesting when a person takes the time to write a book, when a person, and in this case, in the case of Carmen, the inspiration for the book, of course, is her father. Her father told her all these stories that she later put in a book format. But it's absolutely stunning. And my only advice to any of you out there who may be listening, everybody at one time or another says, I want to write a book. And they say, I want to write a story. I want to write a book. Well, do it. I mean, that would be my suggestion. Do it. Because it takes a lot of work. I don't want to kid you around. It takes you a lot of work, and you have to sit down and spend a lot of hours actually sitting down and writing and rewriting, and then you go through the drafting and the editing, and it gets frustrating sometimes when you do that. But at the end of the day, when you finally have that book in your hand, when you have that book that you've written, and you have an opportunity to go out and talk to people. As Carmen was saying, she goes out to schools and places and talks about her book. Well, I've had that same experience with my book. And when you go out there and you talk to people, and people have actually read the book and they ask you questions about the book, I'll close with a neat little story. When I wrote the book, Cubanos in Wisconsin, it's about our family coming to the United States, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, and I. And I thought it was fascinating because one time I was doing a show, and some lady called in and she said, tell me about Lydia. Now, Lydia, of course, is our younger sister who's in the book, but, to a lesser scale because she was a little girl when we left Cuba. And it was so interesting that somebody would read the book and get interested in one part of my life, which is, of course, our little sister in the book. So you never know how what people are going to read in your book. You never know how you're going to touch people, but you will touch them with your book. And this is one of the things, of course, one of the reasons why I wanted to share this time today with Carmen and have you hear her talk about her father. And we definitely recommend you go out and get yourself a copy of the book. And as I say, I have a link on the show information. All you got to do is click on there, and it'll take you to Amazon. But as Carmen was saying, there's other places where you can get the book. My Father's Quest, Carmen Corrales Conacher. This is a book you want to read. Everybody have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.